Hello, Africa. This is Inquiry, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Akwe Thompson, in Washington.
I come from a family who's very, very superstitious. Like, my mother would always tell me, don't wear pearls on your wedding day because it means tears. And I firmly believe in that. And one of the reasons why is because one specific day I walked under a ladder, which obviously means bad luck. And on that day, a family member died. I mean, what's the chances?
You are kidding me.
So I'll firmly believe in it, and I don't walk across the path of a black cat as well.
No pearls on the wedding day. Don't walk under the ladder. Don't cross the path of a black cat. Okay, you have any more?
Like the ancestors have their way, rituals, they come out and funny things, man. I almost took a picture, but they want me not to, so I just stayed off.
What would happen if you took the picture?
I didn't want to find out that way.
And I don't think I would like to find out either.
If you go to a marabu and he sort of counsels you, oh, I think my husband is having an affair or things like that, and he gives a little love potion, and as long as it's not poison, it's okay, it's a form of counseling. It's a form of therapy. I think it's okay.
Yeah, but that's not superstition, though. That's something different, isn't it?
No, it does.
Now, I'm getting really confused here, my friend. Every year, millions of people in the West African nation of Benin mark annual Voodoo Day. On this day, they are joined by travelers from as far as Haiti, the United States, and even Europe. But Benin is not the only country where voodoo is practiced. The culture of superstition pervades most African societies. For example, a few years ago, a 16-foot-long python was a crowd drawer in Western Kenya. Why? Because villagers claimed it was a fortune bringer. This is Inquiry, and today we ask, why are we so superstitious in Africa? Please stay with us. Now let's welcome to the show Jackson Vunganyi, host of Upfront. Hello, Jackson.
Hello, Akwe. Good to be here with you again today.
And my friend Patrick Deya from VOA Operations.
You always get stuck on that.
I know. Thank you. One day I'll get it right.
I'm glad to be here.
Superstition is not confined to West Africa alone. Candice is from Cape Town, South Africa. To what extent does superstition influence her life?
I come from a family who's very, very superstitious. Like, my mother would always tell me, don't wear pearls on your wedding day because it means tears. And I firmly believe in that. And one of the reasons why is because one specific day I walked under a ladder, which obviously means bad luck. And on that day, a family member died. I mean, what's the chances?
You are kidding me.
So I'll firmly believe in it, and I don't walk across the path of a black cat as well. My flatmate from Zimbabwe, she will change her entire path and where she's going to walk around as well to avoid certain things because she's superstitious as well.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
Now, explain to me the whole cat story. I am not too clued up with that. What is the big fuss about a black cat?
Well, first of all, you're not supposed to walk across the path of a black cat, especially on Friday the 13th.
Really?
And then a friend of mine also told me that if a pregnant woman looks into the eyes of a black cat, her child could be born blind with some defect with regard to sight. So I try and avoid black cats at all costs.
Oh, we just had a Friday the 13th recently. In this month, was it in this month?
Yes, it was. Unfortunately, I was off on that day, spent most of the day indoors.
And if it was raining on that day, would you attempt to open an umbrella?
But of course, like I said earlier, a family member died the day I walked under a ladder. So I wouldn't even attempt. We don't have umbrellas in our house, might I add.
Because umbrellas are bad luck.
Yeah, and like with pets. We have pets, but no cats. Specifically black cats.
Now explain a bit more in detail to me the story with the pearls on a wedding day that represents tears.
My mother says pearls mean tears. And once she was actually given pearl earrings as a gift, and she passed them along to someone else, because she firmly believes it will mean tears and you'll have sorrows in your life for a reason. And I don't, no one must give me pearls on the day I actually get married.
Okay. Now, Candice, your friends, are they affected by any of your beliefs?
They actually always thought I was being absurd and being foolish about everything.
Yeah.
But I've managed to convince my two best friends that these things actually are true, and that these superstitions, they're not just merely superstitions. It happens in the real world. And many a time they have actually called me and said, you know, exactly what you had said had come true. Like if I will tell them do this or take the another route or drive the other way for some other reason, they now believe that they should do that. Because if I tell you something, if I have a premonition about something, they will actually go with that and change their ways of thinking.
Wow, premonitions as well. Don't you just think it's a psychological thing and maybe you're just formulating all of these ideas in your head?
Yeah, fine, sure, I hear what you're saying. But what happens when things do come true and when events actually do take place relating to that specific superstition?
Okay, I can understand that. Like I said, it's a bit too complicated for me.
Thank you, Candice and Vanya there. This is Inquiry, and we are discussing superstition in Africa. It is complicated for me too, guys. Superstition, what is it? I throw it to you, what is it?
I think it's just because something is so strange, you really can't have a genuine explanation for it. It's something that makes people kind of believe certain ways.
A bigger power.
Exactly.
Mysterious power.
Yes.
I personally think it's an unfounded fear that has been passed on from generation to generation. Or they're actually generational fears or generational superstitions, like among young people have a certain superstition, older people have a certain superstition. Mm-hmm. And also, older people sometimes reinforce a certain superstition or pass down a superstition to a younger generation.
And does it cut across all levels of society, or is it?
I think it does. I mean, even the Western part, the so-called Western part civilized, there's still some superstition. You look at soccer, look at games,
sports,
in the U.S. When Boston finally won the World Series. There was a lot of things about superstition.
Yeah. And some football players or basketball players will wear a certain jersey when they're playing a major match, because they feel that brings them a certain power to it, and they really believe believe it has that type of power. They can't explain it.
Yeah.
Those are the harmless ones. But I understand. So there are some very serious ones.
Some crazy ones. Did you hear one recently? This happened in the USA about this. A supporter of, I think it's the New York, of the Boston Red Sox. He borrowed a t-shirt, a jersey, under the new stadium that was being constructed for the New York Yankees, I believe.
Exactly.
So that it can give them a bad omen or whatever that
and
is.
And that's how they lost. That's how the Yankees lost. Very interesting.
But I also think that superstition played some role, especially in the African context. And I'll give you an example. It created some teaching background. I come from Kenya and Luo. And one of the ones that I remember is very clearly as a child is that you do not play with any opening or the holes that are made by anthills, because something might bite you, an anthill might bite you, or a snake or whatnot.
A scorpion or something.
And if that happens, you'd have to go and sleep with your grandmother. Imagine as a child, that could really put fear in you.
That alone would stop you from...
Yeah,
from
exactly. So it discourages you as a child to go and play with those ants. Yeah. Or play with anthills.
Because it's dangerous. You might get bitten by a snake or something.
Right, okay, let's move right along. Is superstition a figment of the African's imagination, as someone once said, or is it a worldwide phenomenon? For those of you just joining us, this is Inquiry, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service.
Hello, sports fans. This is the Voice of America's Sonny Young. Please join me Monday through Friday at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC for the sunny side of sports. On Fridays, you can also hear my expanded 30-minute edition of the show at 17 UTC, right here on the English to Africa service of the Voice of America.
And welcome back to Inquiry, the show that takes a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Akwe Thompson, here in our Washington studio with Jackson Vunganyi, host of Upfront, and Patrick Deya from VOA Operations. Right now, we are discussing superstition in Africa.
When it seems like a dream, we got you hypnotized. His body means nothing.
In Nigeria and Sierra Leone, as in many other West African countries, superstition is deeply ingrained in society. Emmanuel Hiama of Liberia and Sunny Nwerem of Nigeria are ready to share some of their experiences with us. Let's start with Sunny.
You know, in this town, Ogbomosho, in Oyo State, southwest Nigeria, it's being ruled by a king. You have a monarch there, Shawn of Ogbomosho. The town is a free town. You could stay in the palace. Funny enough, we come to the palace to eat every 4 o'clock every day. And you know what? Every middle of the year, there's always what we call Oro Festival.
Okay.
It is this festival, these things, they come out at night. Ladies are not meant to come out. If they come out, they're going to die. Uh-huh. And before you actually see the real Oro, that's what they worship. You see a lot of people around. They roll this stick, which makes some funny noises. Funny enough, people going out at night, we do encounter some of them, but we don't allow the girls put up their head, or we don't even stop for them to like harass us or anything. Because when they're spinning that thing, we believe that kind of forming and enchanting something. You know, nobody knows. Uh-huh. The best thing is just to stay off. So what we do, we keep running. They do it for about a week. It starts June, July, just between the 2 months.
And what is that?
The Oro Festival.
And what exactly happens?
It's like cleansing of the town. You know, this old belief they do, cleansing of the town from evil spirits, allowing the ancestors to have their way, rituals, they come out and do funny things, man. I almost took a picture, but they warned me not to, so I just stayed off.
What would happen if you took the picture?
I didn't want to find out that way.
When we were growing up, like in the days in Liberia, people believe that when a relative or family members of your dad, that I have not seen, but I was told. Are you hearing me?
I'm hearing you, yeah.
Okay, that the day of the funerals of this guy will come actually to make this body, will wake up and come, go into his house, take some of his properties of, you know, materials from the house, give it to whosoever he wants to give it to, walk, ride bike, you know, shake hands with people, greet them for the last time, all these things.
So who comes? You mean the ghost of the individual who died?
Yeah, the dead body. So the dead will wake up from the casket. which I have not seen, but I heard about it. People told me about it.
But therein lies the problem, because most of the times, a lot of people talk about superstitions and they talk about things that they've heard, but very few people have experienced anything. For example, they say, if you cross the path of a black cat, you'll run into bad luck. Do you know about that one?
Yeah.
When you were growing up, you had cemeteries around where you lived? Now, did you?
That was one of the what I was about to explain. Another one. That's the next one I was about to go into when you brought the question out.
Okay. So, what was it then?
Like when I was in Liberia, this part of Liberia, they call Rabba Sea. I mean, during my primary school days.
Yes.
These guys who play soccer, football match. The day before the game, you will hear it around in the neighborhood or something. They say, oh, these guys are coming tonight at the graveyard. You know, those guys, they say, the guys have gone to the camp, at the grave.
Who, the football players?
Oh, yeah. So what? So these guys are coming actually at the grave. But actually, I didn't see these things with my eye, but it was, everything was just based on people saying it.
Yeah. And why would they go to the graveyard? What did they hope to gain?
For victory.
for victory. My goodness.
Yeah.
Interesting. In fact,
the man was dribbled, everybody was coming from the pool, and when he missed the goal, they said, yeah, that's why they slept out of grace, yeah. Last night.
And thank you very much, Emmanuel Hiema, a Liberian actually based in Zimbabwe, and Sunny Enwerem from Lagos, Nigeria. Tonight on Inquiry, we are talking superstition in Africa. Graveyards. A lot of superstitious stories stem from graveyard.
Very attached to graveyard. I guess it's that mysticism that is attached to, you know, death.
Death, uh-huh.
Ghost stories we hear when we're kids. I used to be so scared about graveyards myself, personally. I don't know why, but it took me until when I was, you know, grown up to be able to pass a cemetery during even day hours without, you know, having that.
But driving through, though, not walking.
Yeah.
I bet you, right?
It gives me the shivers, man. That
actually, you know, was very surprising for me the first time I came here and I saw, you know, people leave, you know, houses are built right next to the grave, you know, cemeteries. I would kind of cringe at that.
Yeah, and then the graveyard said they look so inviting. You can go and have a cup of tea.
We think that this is a home place for our ancestors. Yeah. So it's that attachment to, we don't know what happens after death. Yeah. So whether it's becoming two spirits, they're also spirits, and they're evil spirits, yeah. I guess they're good spirits and evil spirits. So we didn't know what it was.
But contrary to what Emmanuel and Sunny were saying, right? I say contrary because they basically based their stories on hearsay.
Yeah.
But before, the lady we had before, Candice, said she actually experienced something with, I think, something that she was not supposed to do, and she did, and a family member died.
Sometimes those things, when you believe it too much, it coincides with an event in your life.
Exactly.
And you always, it's like reading horoscopes, you know. Horoscopes are Western ways of superstitions.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can read something in a horoscope and it happens to you that very day.
Yes.
And you say, wow.
Or
you start believing into it.
Or read a fortune cookie?
Yeah, fortune cookie.
But it's just coincidence, really.
It is just coincidence.
Are you guys sure?
I think so.
Because I questioned one of my friends back in the day, and he was telling me stories where people, you know, lean against the wall and then they disappear and you don't see them. And I said, no, that can't be true.
You can never talk to somebody who disappeared.
Yeah.
You'll never find somebody who disappeared.
It's always a story.
Yeah, they're like, you know what? I leaned against that wall and then I disappeared.
Yes.
I don't.
It was always somebody.
Yeah.
Who saw somebody who
it's hearsay. And hearsay is very, very big in our countries.
And I told him, no, that's all hallucination. He said, you want to come to my village? I said, no, thank you.
This one guy who said he wanted to take a picture, but because he was so scared of the unknown.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't know how our new technology would interact with that.
He doesn't want to be the first one to find out. You know?
But if you take that picture and your camera explodes,
then what? Okay, there's nothing wrong with holding on to some cultural and traditional beliefs, but is Africa still trapped in the age of witchcraft and voodoo practices? Is it time to move out of the Stone Age into civilization? We'll have some answers for you when we come back. You're tuned to Inquiry, a program of the Voice of America's Africa Service. It comes to you on Mondays at 17:30 Universal Time, right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America.
You want to listen to the latest African music? Dance to the best African beat from across the African continent? Then you don't have a problem. Just tune in to the African beat on the Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays at exactly 0900 and 2000 Universal Time. Zoom! African Beat, the show that brings happiness into your homes, smiles on your faces. So join me, your host, David Vandy, Monday through Friday, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time on the Voice of America.
African Beat is the best. It's number one. We love it.
The Voice. Voice of America.
Welcome back. This is Inquiry, and we are discussing superstition in Africa. Leila Sheikh is a well-educated woman in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. I wanted to find out if she still believes in superstition.
I remember when I was a small girl in Tanga, I think it was in the 70s or 80s, and there was a house which was being haunted, sort of. Nobody would stay there. And the house was cute, beautiful, but the tenants would not stay, you know, like a month or so, and they would leave. And they had to call a local marabout to come and perform an exorcism.
Oh.
Apparently, they still could not stay, even after the exorcism. So they turned it into a madrasa, a place where children go to learn to read the Quran. If you ask my opinion, I had once written an article about it in a magazine. They'd perform a certain service in society, the marabout or the sangoma. How do they do it? We don't have a culture for going to psychiatrists in this country.
Okay.
You know, like you go to a shrink in America? Over here, nobody would go to a shrink because it's something to be ashamed of.
Oh.
But if you go to a marabout and he sort of counsels you, oh, I think my husband is having an affair or things like that, and he gives a little love potion, as long as it's not poison, it's okay. It's a form of counseling. It's a form of therapy. I think it's okay.
Yeah, but that's not superstition, though. That's something different, isn't it?
No, it does, because it's, I think some of it works in the sense that when you go to a marabout and he tells you, well, if you feel your husband is having an affair, go home and put on your sexy nighty and talk to him nicely, and that's the medication. And I think it helps. It's a form of, you know, like agony uncle or aunt or whatever. But they do have a very strong place in our society, especially in the rural communities. The first person they would go to if a child is sick is to a marabout or a sangoma. Then they would go to a dispensary,
Okay, now, there are some superstitious beliefs that, you know, if, when you cross the path of a black cat, something bad will befall you, or if you walk under a ladder, it's a bad sign or something. Do you have those beliefs, too?
A black cat, yes. I mean, it's not that you cross the path of a black cat. A black cat crosses your path.
Oh, okay.
And then sort of something bad. We don't believe in ladders here. I think that's very Irish or English. I don't know.
Yeah.
But over here, like if you hear a cockerel crow in the afternoon, you know, it could be like a declaration that there's going to be a fight in the family. We also believe in dream interpretation.
Oh, okay.
I even have a book on the interpretation of dreams, you know.
Oh, tell me about that.
If you dream of fire, your house is on fire, it means there's going to be a fight in the family. If you dream you are picking white flowers, it means somebody's going to die. If you know things like that, and it's fun. We also, for example, my friends and I, when we meet in, you know, like girls' parties, I bring out my tarot cards and I, you know, read their fortunes. I do that, yeah, just for fun. Sometimes it comes out true, sometimes not, but well, it's fun. I bring out my tarot cards.
Okay, now, what's a good superstition for catching a good man?
Yes, there is. I mean, you have to be decent, and it's not magic.
Okay.
You have to be polite, you have to be not wearing very short skirts, you have to come from a decent family. That's the magic, yeah.
That's the magic there. Okay. All right. Now, why do you think people believe so much in superstition in Africa? Is it because of ignorance or just down-to-earth fear about the unknown?
I think that's a terrible thing to say. There's nothing ignorant or being fearful about being close to nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you're close to nature, we have not been urbanized so much here. We still have a lot of forests.
Yes.
We have rivers and streams, and we believe in spirits of the forest. We believe in spirits of the rivers. You know, people still throw libation when they cross bridges, you know, in this country.
They do.
I don't see anything wrong in it, as long as it makes them happy.
Thank you very much, Leila. And this is Inquiry, and we're discussing superstition in Africa. See, when I put that question to Layla, you see her reaction. I said, is it ignorance? She said, what are you talking about?
Exactly. She's an educated woman,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think she has a very good point when she says it's our way of respecting nature. We interact with nature on so many levels, but that's our way of respecting it. Because mm-hmm. it gives us so much. And so what are we giving to it? It's a certain respect we should be giving to it. Otherwise, we would be destroying it like we do in the West. But the other thing is I wanted to mention is, I think one of the things about African superstition is it has been used by leadership as a way to subdue people.
That too?
Yeah.
That too?
To subjugate them. Mm-hmm. It has been, that's another thing that has been passed on, you know, from generation. Mm-hmm. You know, chiefs used to create a certain mysticism around themselves. And that in the way would subdue the people to, you know, look at him as a god,
right.
Or look at them as a god, who was used as a parent. Mm-hmm. As a parent, you know, parents used it to control their kids, like, you know, my friend here said, you know.
Patrick, you're nodding, you agree.
Yeah.
I agree that it's part of the society and controlling society and whatnot. But if you look at it throughout the world, really, it has some application in terms of things that we want to get out of a certain issue. For example, the superstition about pots and all that.
Right.
We want to succeed. So we do certain things that we think will make us succeed.
Or somebody wants to get rich.
Or someone wants to get rich.
So they go see the old witch doctor.
Yeah.
And he concocts a chicken head and puts it in with some bones or something.
Yeah.
And hang it. In your door front or something?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You were telling me a story now about a lady who...
Oh, yes, yes. This is a case of... It's not hearsay, actually. I know of... when I was growing up in Kampala, there used to be these doctors on the street. I don't know how I would call them. They're not real doctors. They're not witch doctors. But they're traditional doctors.
Okay.
They're traditional doctors.
Okay, traditional
who
doctors.
Claim to have powers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them had a way of solving this issue of domestic violence. And so women would go approach him and say, hey, you know, my man beats me every night when he comes at home. And we get into arguments and fight and he beats me. And so what can you do for me? So he had a small stick that can fit into your mouth. And so he would give it out as a prescription, you know, take this, go home and put it into your mouth. And so these women would go home, put it, you know, place it in their mouth. And if the husband comes home in the evening, she serves him food and then it will all be fine and dandy. And after 1 week, there's been no fights in the home. And come to find out, this stick actually impedes the woman from talking. Because, and so there are no fights, there are no arguments.
Yeah.
And so they came to believe they did not connect the two.
The magic stick.
Yeah, yeah. It is the magic stick, but it just works.
So a lot of it is made of psychology too.
Yeah,
it is.
Wonderful. That's all the time we have for our show, Superstition in Africa. Let's thank Candice from South Africa, Emmanuel Hiama from Liberia, Sunny Enwerem from Lagos, Nigeria, and our loyal friend from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, Layla Sheikh. And of course, a big thank you also to my colleagues here in the studio with me, Jackson Vunganyi, host of Upfront, and Patrick Deya from VOA Operations. Well, that's all we have for you today on Inquiry. We ask you to send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is inquiry@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-203-4892. That's 202-203-4892 and leave us a message. Thanks for tuning in and join us again next Monday at 17:30 UTC for another exciting edition of Inquiry right here on the Africa Service of the Voice of America. From Washington, this is Akwae Thompson. See you next time.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this, whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now. Reception Line.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.